This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, time for another edition of Thursday Coast with the founder of Daily Coast. His name is Mark with an OS on the end. Marcos is an operating system. That's what he is, ultimately. We appreciate him. Also, founder of Civics with a Q. Hey, man, we're back at it in the first week of the Trump foolishness presidency.
Mark, 4 years of this shit.
Yeah, that's what he said. 4 years, y'all. What on earth?
No, I don't want.
I told you my grandmother used to have a saying. When stuff like this happened, stop the world so I can get off.
Seriously.
It's brutal. It's all starting out brutal. But now, okay, so there's this. Let's start, because you've been doing some writing. We haven't talked since some of the writing you published. The mass deportations, is that real or is he selling wolf tickets?
Really? So it depends. You know, when you see police raid a home, right? Because there's a drug there or something, right? It's not one or two cops show up, right? They send like the whole cavalry, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They got 20, 30 because it's for safety reasons and just shock and awe. And the Chicago field office, apparently when they were talking about doing these raids right at the beginning of the Trump presidency, they had 60 agents. How many people do you think 60 agents could really... Right. Arrest me 20, maybe 20. Right. The reality of the immigration system is that customs enforcement, border patrol depend on local law enforcement to do a lot of the work, whether it's backup, whether it's actually arresting people and holding them in detention so they can get picked up by ICE, whatever that might be. They really need local law enforcement. So Trump and company, they had plenty of that in Florida and Texas, right? Which have combined have about 5 million undocumented immigrants. But Trump really isn't interested in that so much as he is in punishing Chicago, because Chicago has been very adamant that it will not comply. It will not help any federal agents enforce immigration law. Same with California, same with New York and New Jersey, right? So there's this obsession with punishing those cities that are sanctuary cities. And the reality is they don't have the resources to do that. They would have to ramp up just hiring of Border Patrol agents to a level that the money's just not there. This is one of the issues that Congress is dealing right now, is they just don't know where to find the money to pay. It would be hundreds of billions of dollars, which just doesn't exist in the budget. And so what will happen is there will be raids. They'll try to make a big show of it. But millions? You know, that's just not going to be a thing. So then the question becomes, what can they actually do? And what they can do is, like I said, is they can make life really miserable for undocumented immigrants in red states. You have, I just saw the headline. I didn't get a chance to read the story, but North Dakota is freaking out. Nebraska is freaking out because they have a labor shortage and the meatpacking plants, you know, where you get your beef, it's all undocumented immigrants and they're all leaving. So there is a consequence to, there's an economic consequence to those small agricultural states that depend on undocumented immigrants in order to harvest food, slaughter meat and bring food to American staples. So are they going to target those states? I don't know, right? I mean, I think Trump is more interested in trying to punish blue states than he is in red states. So then what happens is, I think the fear of immigration crackdowns creates what Republicans are hoping is self-deportation. Everybody goes home. They just don't want to deal with the stress. That's what they're really, really hoping for. I think there's that could happen. There could be people who go home. I'm not going to deny that. And is that a good thing or bad thing? I mean, people get to make their own choices. If they want to go back home, they get to go back home. But I think one thing that's maybe more likely is that they just migrate internally to sanctuary states. So they end up in places like New York and New Jersey and Illinois and California and Washington. And those states all have severe worker shortages in their agricultural sectors. Mark, you got to rebuild tens of thousands of homes in LA alone.
Right.
The manpower need, the workforce need for that is massive. There's a real incentive for a lot of these undocumented immigrants in these red states to just go to California and partake in that, what is going to be an economic boom rebuilding LA. And what's really interesting about this, Mark, is that remember that the census counts all persons living in the state for reapportionment purposes.
Right
now, projections have California losing 5 seats. And New York, another 2 seats. And Illinois, another seat. The Electoral College map is going to look brutal to us given current projections. But if we're seeing millions of people shift from Texas and Florida to these red, these blue states that are losing population relative to the South, that might actually mitigate a lot of that Electoral College situation, which would be hilariously ironic. I mean,
right.
It would serve them well. And it's funny because I think they don't realize that even Greg Abbott, you know, governor of Texas, busing tens of thousands of undocumented immigrants that are crossing the border in Texas and busing them to New York, New Jersey, and Chicago and California, that he's actually helping mitigate a lot of that population loss that those states are exhibiting. And so it's complicated. There's a lot of moving parts. I don't think Trump can really do much in those blue states. He absolutely, with the help of Abbott and DeSantis, he can make life miserable for undocumented immigrants in those two states. He's really limited to what he can do in places like Chicago. So they'll do something. They'll make a big show of it. They'll round up a couple dozen immigrants, but when we're talking about millions, I mean, that's not even a drop in the bucket, right? That's what's already happening, even under the Biden administration. There's not going to be anything much new just because they don't have the resources or the local assistance.
Yeah, I all that makes sense, provided that in terms of the migration within the country, some leaving Texas and Florida, as you mentioned, and going to blue states. You know, we just have to, you know, we're still kind of trying to figure out these numbers from November. as to what extent, because there's still an incentive for people, other people of color who are not black, to associate with Trump and whiteness, unfortunately. You know, and that's part of the culturalism of America. Don't associate with people of color in this country who've been struggling with discrimination for years. You don't want to do that. You want to be associated with white people. And so there's still a little split on that. But as you were talking, you mentioned the show. See, everything is a show. Everything is entertainment. That's entertainment. You know what I envision? They want to create. Remember the old TV show, Cops? Mm-hmm. Bad Boys. But people love that. And it was just insane. People fighting with the police. Police fighting with people. I don't know why people got off on that. It was sick. I think that's what they want to recreate. He wants to have his own version, his own reality show. Look at my agents going to get people and they're fighting back. You know, look at the ratings. Look at the people looking at this. You know, and that gives him, for his base, as we've discussed ad nauseum, the incelled, angry male. Mm-hmm. That plays right into them, right? Look at these men being cops, men fighting back with cops, cops fight. I mean, it's almost a form of incel pornography. Mm. And so if they can get enough, you're right, they may not get but 12 people. Yeah. But if they can get 10 people on camera,
oh, they'll get fighting, awful
back,
that.
Yep. Fighting back physically, gold. I mean, you know, and they'll try to run on that. They'll try to run on that for the next decade. Look at this. Wait a minute, y'all, only two or three people did that. Everybody else is scared. Well, show us the video of the women and children you snatched up. Did they fight you back? Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, are these guys who are fighting back on video, are these real immigrants, or are these some people you got playing dress up from WWE so they can get, you know, we got to look at all of that. It's sick. And we got to look at this for the next 4 years.
We're going to have to survive this. Yeah, go ahead.
His only consolation is, I mean, he can't run again, technically. Although this man, through an executive order, we had Ellie Mistal on yesterday, Marcos, as my screen freezes always. You're talking about they had this new AI now. If you make an expression with your hand, isn't that stupid? If you make an expression with, let me see if I can fix myself. If you make an expression with your hands, you go out. Let me say this and I'm going to leave screen, let you talk, let you respond to this.
All right.
He, through an executive order, through his own pen, is trying to repeal the 14th Amendment. Who can do that? Other than someone who knows the Supreme Court is going to back him, I guess. I don't know. But what are your thoughts? We had Ellie do a whole thing on it yesterday. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I don't think he gets any support in the Supreme Court for that executive order. I mean, it's just a blatant, clear violation of the Constitution, the intent of that amendment. I mean, there's just no gray area whatsoever. So I would doubt it. Now, maybe he gets Clarence Thomas. Maybe he gets Alito. Maybe he gets his two craziest. But this is not something I think that's going to get much support or backing in the Supreme Court. So really, again, I don't think he cares, Mark. I think it's all for frickin' show. It's a show. So he can go around saying he eliminated birthright citizenship. His people believe it. Supreme Court will strike it down in 2 years. I mean, you know, by the time he gets up there, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to be paying attention to that. The inability for people to know what's actually happening is absolutely a threat to our democracy. I mean, it makes so much more sense to me, this whole idea borne out in surveys and polling, that people who read newspapers were 75% Democratic. People who watch cable TV were like 55% Democratic. People who listen to podcasts were like 48% Republican. People who consume no news were like 70% Trump. Like, there is something to not knowing, to being ignorant. I mean, there's this tweet that went viral. It says, dude, who's like, why didn't anybody tell me that Trump hates Mexicans? I'm Hispanic. Nobody told me.
Yeah, right.
And people are like, did you not pay attention? He's like, I don't pay attention to news. I didn't know what was happening. It's hard to fathom that this is a thing. Like me and you, Mark, obviously, like this is our hobby. Like we are lucky that this is our job, but it's our job because we love this and it's our hobby and politics was in our lifeblood. And people who are watching this show, obviously people who read Daily Kos, the vast majority of Americans are utterly, completely tuned out for whatever reason. And the less they heard about news, because all you had to hear, like all this guy had to do was watch one Donald Trump speech. He had to listen to Democrats. He didn't have to listen to the news. He didn't have to listen to podcasters. All he had to do is watch one Trump speech. And he'd be like, whoa, this guy is no good for my people. So now he's in our outreach. And Mark, I can't tell you how many, there's this whole genre right now on Twitter, which is the only reason I go to Twitter anymore, is to like bathe in the schadenfreude of these people. There's this whole genre of people who are making appeals to Donald Trump because they had gotten a job and the jobs got rescinded because Trump just absolutely, he nixed by executive order every job offer.
Yeah.
And people are like, I moved my family.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a nurse at the VA. And you really wouldn't be doing it to hurt veterans, would you? I got a child. And there's this whole thing in Russia, which is hilarious, where people like make these video appeals to Putin because they think that Putin is great and godlike and benevolent. And it's just everybody else who's incompetent. So like, Putin, I bet you don't know this, but they're sending my husband to die and without any equipment. Not realizing that this is all by design and Putin knows darn well and he really doesn't care. And so now that we're seeing it in our own country where people are making these Twitter appeals to Donald Trump, thinking that he actually gives a crap about that. And so had they paid attention, it's not even just the hiring freeze. Supposedly government sucks. Why are you applying for a government job if you really believe government sucks? Number two, Trump literally said with Elon Musk that they were going to cut $2 trillion in government spending. What made him think that their job, even if they got the job, wouldn't be cut in this purge of government jobs? Because that's literally Trump's agenda.
Yeah.
You like your government job. If nothing else, that should be reason enough to vote Democratic, because Republicans ain't going to try to protect your government job. You may be able to keep it, but not because Republicans wouldn't kill it in a heartbeat if they had the opportunity. So any government worker, but like, if you hate government so much, why are you applying for government jobs?
Right.
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice, up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So here's the guy. Here's one of the guys right here. It's on screen if you all can see it. Whose wife was recently hired by the VA. They relocated from Fort Worth to Waco. All these VA jobs gone. He's a disabled vet. And he says, "We are all huge Trump supporters. And I know this was an unintended consequence." What? How naive can you be? So all of this is going around. What were you all thinking?
They think Trump cares about veterans? Again, he all you got to do is watch him. You don't need to watch the liberal media or the traditional media. I mean, remember he gave that medal to Miriam Adelson, and he said it was better than the Congressional Medal of Honor because those people that get them, they've been hit by bullets, and some of them are even dead. But Miriam, she's a beautiful woman. Like, he literally said, like, he utterly disrespect. I don't think he shows disrespect for anybody more than he does for wounded vets. I mean, look at the John McCain situation. So you think he cares about VA care? That department's getting hacked.
Yeah.
If Trump has his way. And so it absolutely boggles the mind. So we've talked about this before, but in past, like in 2016, Trump didn't think he was going to get elected. They weren't prepared. His cabinet was full of like more traditional Republicans who actually put a brake on a lot of Trump's excesses towards guardrails. And then, you know, Democrats won, you know, Congress 2 years later. So there was only limited amount of damage that Trump could do. And I think people were insulated by those institutional guardrails from the worst of Trump's excesses. This time he had time to prepare. Everybody he's picking is, you know, it's MAGA, true believer, nihilist, or, you know, edgelord, Elon Musk types. And so they're now getting what Trumpism really looks like. They didn't listen to him. It's weird, Mark. I keep saying this because it just blows my mind. People did not believe, people believed his lies about Democrats, about Kamala Harris, about Joe Biden, about the economy. They did not believe him when he said what he wanted to do.
Right.
Oh, he's just being, you know, he's just like making a joke. He's just exaggerating. They say stuff like that, right? And then they even made up stuff that he never said, like, you know, "I'm looking forward to Trump going after healthcare executives." Like, that's literally a thing that I saw Trump supporters say. I've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it where they selectively decide what to believe, and then they even make up, they even fill space. And Mark, Trump's not somebody that has left space to fill. He's not a blank slate where you can impose your greatest desires onto. He talks a lot. I mean, if you wanted to see what he thought about healthcare executives, it's not like there's any ambiguity. So and then, of course, we saw at the inauguration for all the, you know, he had firefighters and regular people at his rallies behind them. I mean, who was at his inauguration? None of those people were at his inauguration. He didn't even pretend to invite anybody like that. There was $1 trillion of net worth in that front row. $1 trillion.
People think they had it inside because of the cold. There was no one on the street. It would have been smaller than 2017.
Yeah.
And they somebody gave him. That's one thing I give him, because you have an argument about whether he's willful or stupid. He wasn't stupid. Somebody say, dude, you need to take this inside, because you're going to be really embarrassed. No one is here.
Yeah.
Nobody's coming into the train station. Nobody's coming into the airport, which, again, drives and enables my further conspiracy of where all the people who voted for him. Anyway, we're going to get into that tonight. But, but you know, nobody was here. Nobody was in D.C.
For the first time ever, a Republican won those making under $50,000. His supporters can't afford to go to D.C. Like, he won the lowest, most marginalized people on the socioeconomic ladder, excluding Black people. Mm-hmm. They know. Now it's time for those white people to learn. So, to me, that's sort of like, they're the ones that are going to suffer the most, because there ain't going to be no federal government to protect them from red state policies. It's just going to be worse and worse for workers. And now they can't blame. So in that tweet that you posted about the guy whose, you know, wife got rescinded, if you'd go down the thread, they all decided it was Biden's fault. I ain't kidding. It's all Biden's fault. Clearly, it's Biden's people in the VA misinterpreting Trump's executive order, and this will get resolved lickety split, right? Oh, yeah, good luck with that, guys. There's a point where they can't blame Biden anymore. I mean, it's coming. And so there's a lot of, and we didn't see this in 2016. I don't know why. I don't know if social media wasn't at that place yet, but we're not, like, he's not getting a lot of grace from his supporters right now. People are like, what the hell is this? Why is he targeting me? And this is the funny thing is that even these people freaking out about Trump hurting them, it's not about Trump hurting people. They just thought that since they voted for him, that they would be spared. So you're seeing this with a lot of Latinos that voted for Trump. Like, oh, he didn't mean my family.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he meant your family. I'm seeing this big time right now with the Arab community in Michigan, right? They're freaking out about the new Trump ban and Trump's actions in the Middle East. He's, you know, shipping off 500, you know, mega, you know, big bombs to Israel that the Biden administration had blocked. And they're seeing this executive order that Trump signed actually deports any student that is not an American citizen that protested on behalf of pro-Palestinian causes, right? Like, we told him this was coming. He said it. He said it. It wasn't even like us exaggerating or like, again, all you had to do was listen to Trump. But people are just bad at politics. I think a lot of people are just really bad at wielding power. They had power. They had the ability to influence Kamala Harris. Instead, they decide to sabotage her as much as possible. And now they get Trump. So if nothing else, I'm hoping that we spend the next 4 years people learning what it actually means to vote for a Republican. Because right now, there's no guardrails. There's no guardrails inside the administration. Republican, congressional Republicans are scared and they're terrified of Trump. And so they don't have the votes to do a lot of the worst stuff, but Trump's going to do a lot by executive order, by weaponizing the Justice Department, by targeting his enemy. He'll do a lot of really, really bad. I think legislatively there's a limit just because they don't have much of a, if any, margin in Congress in order to pass, you know, his agenda. But people will see. People will get to know, see what it's like to have a Republican in power. And it's, like I've said before, there's not a lot we can do right now from a resistance standpoint. It's almost, we don't even, like, it's our best thing we can do to resist is just to call out the flood of injustices and just make sure people see it. So I don't know if you saw this, Mark, but one of the executive orders prohibits federal agencies from celebrating MLK's birthday. We're not talking Black History Month and women. No, that's gone. You can't even celebrate more, like a literal federal holiday. So it is the rank and position of a white nationalist agenda. People now get to see what that looks like. They get to see that Trump campaigned on lowering the price of eggs, yet the price of eggs is up 30% since he was elected. They get to see that he talked about claimed to want to bring prices down, but then he gets elected and he's talking about buying Canada and Greenland and the Panama Canal, the Gulf of America, all that nonsense. People are seeing that. People, and I frequent those right-wing forums. They noticed Billionaires Row at the inauguration. That was $1 trillion in net worth just in the front row. That's not including billionaires behind. I think we were like at 1.4. I was doing some math. It was like about $1.4 trillion worth of billionaires.
Wow.
In that room. Trillion. People are noticing. Now, yeah. Whether they do something about it, the problem is they don't feel like Democrats are a difference. And a lot of that is cope. It's a lot easier to say, okay, I fucked up with my vote with Trump because the other side's just as bad. So there's a cope element there. But what can we do as Democrats to start flipping that? And we don't need to flip everybody. Remember, Democrats are about 51% of the population. Republicans are 49%. Trump won by 4 points because we saw a 6-point shift in the electorate from 2020. That's if we were to get to 55-45% of the national vote, that's just 4 points. 51 to 55. That's a 4-point, you know, tweak up. If we were to do that, the national electorate can shift 6 points and we still win.
Yeah.
It's a smaller election, but we still win. We need that margin of error. We need to bake that in, particularly if reapportionment actually makes some electoral math even more difficult. So how do we do that? And that's, I don't have that answer right now, but that's what we need to be thinking about, because this is an opportunity for people to see, this is what Republicanism looks like. That's why Democrats need to stop talking about, oh, it's just Trump. It's Trumpist. No. It's Republicans. They are all bought in. This is a new Republican Party. This is what it looks like. I know all of you, not all of you are going to like change your minds. You'd rather vote to hurt yourself because you think a black man may get a job or something, right? We get that. We're not talking about you. There is 4 points in that electorate that might be like, yeah, that was not good. Yeah. What do Democrats need to do to become a safe place for people to rally around?
And hopefully people see those trillionaires and they wake up somewhat. Although I will say, and this is the disadvantage of age, because somebody said, well, people will see, you know, they'll wake up. And I was still young. I was a teenager. But I remember when people said that about Ronald Reagan. Oh, then people will see. And some folks still didn't, including some people in organized labor. See, the Teamsters not endorsing Kamala, y'all, was residue from Reagan. So you had, you know, white men unions. We're going with Reagan. Okay. Reagan, first thing he does, like I think what the first week even, was fire all the air traffic controllers, the union. These are union. They went on strike. They weren't getting adequate wages. They go on strike. He fired every last one of them. Letting you know right away he was one of the most anti-union presidents in history. And some folks are still there because their toxic maleness and their white supremacy supersedes everything else. Now, but let me ask you this. You talked, that's a good point. At least $1 trillion on that stage. That's just the first row. We probably close to $3 trillion. Here's the question I have for you, Marcos. Because I think I know how I feel. At a point, we've got to stop validating. I don't think any of those other people, the Clintons, the Bushes, Obama, Michelle didn't go. Stop. Why be there? I mean, it looks so, and that's what's confusing to the young people. Yeah. Mark, they said that he was existential threat to democracy. Why are they standing up there smiling, yeah, and shaking hands and hugging and kissing on,
yep,
each other?
Yep.
And
yep.
I didn't,
yep,
have an answer.
Nope. You know, I don't have an answer.
At a point, we look crazy doing that.
Trump set the precedent in 2020. He did not show up to Biden's inauguration. There's no precedent anymore. It's broken.
Yeah.
There's,
yeah,
no need.
And now specifically, let's
a
talk about
a peaceful transfer of power literally means signing documentation, moving out of the White House. There you go. Peaceful.
And that's still peaceful. Yeah. It's not unpeaceful. You sit up and chit chat in a funeral with a man who believes to this day that you were not born in the United States. Yeah. Barack Obama. I mean, how do you do that? One, this 14, see, you redefined Ellie Mistal. You all should really listen to yesterday's show. Ellie Mistal went line by line on the Birthright Citizenship Executive Order. And one of the things he says in there is that if your parents weren't born here, but yet you were still born here, you're not a citizen. It's called the Kamala Harris paragraph. Why? Because I think her mom was here on a work or student visa, and so was her father. But she was born here. So he can now say, if his executive order is accepted, Kamala Harris is not a citizen in this country. And you sitting up there shaking hands and hugging on people, and she swore that woman in Lankford, her own husband wouldn't even, I don't know if you heard, I think it was Lankford, the senator, the guy who wouldn't shake her hand after the swearing in. He goes up to Doug Emhoff to shake his hand. Doug Emhoff said, wait, and congratulations to Doug Emhoff. He said, you wouldn't shake my wife's hand. Why would I shake yours? Why do you want to shake mine? He asked him that. What's the difference? Why would you want to shake my hand and I want to shake my wife's? Kudos. Yeah. I'm going to try to get the bishop on there, the bishop at the Episcopal bishop. I mean, y'all, that is what
what's crazy, Mark?
That's what your preacher is supposed to do. If your preacher ain't talking like that, you need to find another church. Yes, you heard me say that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Trump, there's no other church for Trump. Trump's like, yeah, this is why I don't go to church, because they try to like impose morality on me and like make me feel bad for being an a-hole.
That's right. That's right.
No, on the issue of shaking his hand, George Bush literally tripped trying to avoid Donald Trump.
That's right. He sure did.
Literally tripped. He saw him. He like tripped. He was so like desperate to get out of there without having to even acknowledge his existence. If Republicans won't talk to him, why are our people?
Right. That's right. As a matter of fact, whoa. Let's take a step further. Why did he trip? He disrespected the man's father. See, you disrespect my father. I don't want you at the funeral. I don't want you around my parents.
Yeah.
And everybody's okay with that. You know, nobody said, oh, George Bush should be more dignified. No one on earth said that, not even Democrats. But for some reason, Marcos and Mark, we have to be bigger. We have to rise. Mm-hmm. And the author of the phrase, when they go low, we go high, did not show up.
Yeah.
That is Michelle's very phrase. Wait a minute, mother. You're the one who said, they go low, we go high. Mother, where were you? You didn't go to the funeral. As great as Jimmy Carter was, and God bless him, one of the greatest individuals ever lived, you even skipped out on Jimmy Carter because that go low, go high thing didn't work for you anymore. So we need to cut that kind of stuff out, because that's what hurts us and enables, I'm going to say this, Democrats who have sense enough to listen. Mm-hmm. When the young people say there's no difference between the two parties, and we try to say there is, then they say, well, but y'all up there palling around playing footsie with the people at the funeral, at the inauguration. It is strange credulity to do any of that. One more thing you've written about, now, I may not be up on this. Trump is dissing Putin right now. What is going on with that?
Oh my God. It's just Trump, he came in with his like, you know, during a campaign, like I will end the war in 24 hours, right? That was his grandiose claim. Obviously, we're on hour, I don't know, too many. Oh my God. It's only been like 3 days, Mark. How are we going to make it through? Oh my God. Anyway, the war's not over. So clearly he was wrong. His grand plan, apparently, because he tweeted about it, what was it? Wednesday morning, was that if Putin doesn't end the war right now, he's going to impose tariffs, because apparently tariff is his answer to everything right now. Keep in mind, there's no trade between the U.S. and Russia. Like, it's nothing. And so there's no real threat there. But everybody kind of noted that it was interesting that he's actually threatening Putin, which is new. And Russian sources are convinced. Remember, Trump really admires strongmen. He wants to see strong, powerful, you know, nations. Right now, Russia's economy is in shambles and it's collapsing. And he's depending on North Korean troops to like bolster his own, because he's running out of men. He's running out of equipment. He's not really advancing much. You know, Ukraine now has long-range missiles, and Ukraine's bombing the crap out of Russia itself, bringing the war home to more Russians. Russia lost in Syria. That was a ginormous one, right? Like that was a huge loss of prestige for Russia. So somehow somebody got to Trump and said, Putin ain't strong no more. And that may have been and there's pro-Ukraine people in that administration. A lot of them are being marginalized, but somebody got in his ear and said, Putin is weak, yo. And it somehow landed. So now Trump has decided that Putin is weak. And Russian sources claim that it was China that told Trump that. I don't think it's China. I think it's pretty obvious that Russia is a bit of a mess right now. But their theory is that China benefits from the war continuing because Russia is now basically a Chinese client state. Like China owns the Russian economy. And the more the West is focused in Europe and Ukraine, the less that the West is focused on protecting Taiwan, right? So it makes sense for China to want to keep that war going forever. I think that's a conspiracy theory, but somehow somebody got to Trump. Now, the thing is, his solution of I'm going to impose tariffs is ridiculous because, there's no trade. There's literally no trade. So if he wants to threaten, he actually has to threaten with arming Ukraine to a higher extent. I think Russia has dragged out the war this long, hoping that Trump would be elected and then Trump would do Trumpy things and side with Putin and cut off Ukraine. And that's not panning out. So really the strategic consideration for Russia gets a lot more complicated if Trump sticks with this. We all know Trump, right? He can back and forth and he wants a deal. Let's make a deal. But, as of right now, it's not looking good for Russia. Ukraine's doing a great job of kissing Trump's ass. And, you know, I'm sure Zelensky's promising big statues of Trump in Kyiv if he can give us weapons. I mean, if he's smart, that's what he's doing. And yeah. Trump is dumb enough to fall for stuff like that. So that might be the best case scenario for Ukraine. And you know what? If Trump floods Ukraine with weapons and helps them win the war, then they could put up a statue to Trump. Like Biden, for whatever reason, was afraid to go all in and take off all restrictions. And Trump's just not nuanced enough to worry about things, I guess. I don't know. But it's been an interesting sort of kind of a plot twist. And really comes down to Trump clearly does not respect Putin as a strong man anymore. He sees him as weak. And that's sort of the key, I think, to manipulating Trump is he hates weakness more than anything else. That's why he never apologizes. It's why he walks around with his boisterous threats and because he thinks that makes him look strong and powerful. And Putin right now doesn't look that way.
So I guess the other question, though, is if, in fact, Putin has something on Trump, which he always seems to have had. I mean, does that count anymore? Trump would also have to get some indication. Leverage Putin has held over him is also gone, because just someone is in a place of momentary weakness doesn't mean they still don't have the goods on you. So I guess that remains to be seen.
I mean, I will say that Trump has learned that he can explain everything away by calling it a hoax. So there could be video of Trump cavorting with prostitutes in Moscow and
the golden shower,
the most degenerate things. And he can just say it's all AI misinformation from the Democrats.
But I still was, no matter how bad Putin's doing economically and against Ukraine, he still has turned assassination into an art form. I wouldn't mess with him. You know, you got to do.
Yeah.
you know, because when people were talking about who took these shots at Trump, we still don't really know who that was. So, I mean, you know, the thing is, if you're in Russia, you don't stand next to any windows or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I still would be inclined to leave him alone if I were Trump. But that is very, very interesting. And it shows that he's probably gone somewhat even further off the deep end. We'll continue to go off. Just as we're talking, as we get ready to go, April Ryan, as you all know, who has been a longest tenured White House correspondent in the room now, texting me that it is a desert at the White House right now. No banner press room, no press briefing. I was saying that with Marcos earlier, and as Marcos said, they really don't have a need to have one. In fact, I'm going to ask April. Say, April, what does a White House correspondent do if they never have a press briefing? Because they don't have to. They don't have to. It's like they don't care. It's whatever.
There's an article in the Columbia Journalism Review, which is sort of the trade publication for the media and just for the journalistic industry. And the White House press corps was so happy Trump was elected.
Yeah.
Because it was so boring to have to cover a competent, calm, professional, reasonable administration. The horrors of it. And you see it in the way the media covered this election, right? They love Trump and they think it brings them clicks. And maybe it does. I will say with Daily Coast, I think people are tired of the show. I think people are tired of the drama. We're not seeing the traffic spikes that we did in 2017. And I'm kind of okay with that, to be honest. It's like, we got 4 years of this. People need to pace themselves. I want people to start paying attention next year once we gear up for the midterm elections, right? But right now, let's just make sure we point at them when Republicans wonder, oh, wait, I didn't vote for this. And we'll say, yeah, it's exactly what you voted for. What do you think Project 2025 was? His executive orders? It was all out of Project 2025, which Trump said he had never seen.
Lastly, just one more thing on Bird Ready. Ellie taught us. I was yesterday years old when I learned this. I don't know if you knew this, Marcos.
Uh-oh.
But in case you are ever on Jeopardy. The 14th Amendment, you know, obviously is well known for giving citizenship to African Americans in the United States. But as Ellie pointed out, it gave U.S. citizenship to all Americans. Prior to the 14th Amendment, you were a citizen of the state you lived in. There was no such thing as U.S. citizenship yet. That was
I did not know that.
It was just a thing. You were a citizen of California, or I was a citizen of New York, but no such thing as a universal notion of U.S. citizenship, right? So I thought that was very, very, very interesting. So we will see what comes of this, you all. The show, oh my God, this is going to be a long 4 years. But folks,
we got to pace ourselves. Take care of yourself, please.
Take care of yourself. And the things. So let's be honest. People like Marcos B and people who watch and listen and read us, we're junkies, right? And usually, political junkie is about the only context in which the term junkie is not pejorative. It's really not good to be a junkie of anything. It's not good to be a sugar junkie.
Sports junkie.
Maybe
people say that.
Yeah, they do that. But sometimes that ain't healthy either.
Yeah.
You lose your mind. All these, any form of junkie at different points can become unhealthy. So, folks, take this opportunity to balance your life. Okay? Look at other things. Talk about other things. You know what? I'll even challenge Marco. One day, me and Marcos will come on here and talk about something else other than politics, maybe.
Whoa.
Just to show some diversity. Can we do that? Just to show some diversity in our personalities. We're not one-dimensional individuals. We're actually versatile and charming gentlemen who have other things to talk about. So
it's true. It happens sometimes.
It happens. So, folks, take advantage of that. As you all know, I'm back in school. I'm going to, you know, be doing some more writing and reading and scholarship. And politics will always be there, at least on the periphery. Use this opportunity because it's going to get worse. It's going to get crazier. It's going to get more inexplicable and incomprehensible. And there's no mechanism to deal with that. And so you got to have other spend time with, you know, I folks, I preached a sermon. I hope you'll look at it. on Sunday at historic Riverside Church on Dr. King. And I said to people, you know, all the political activism he did. But I said, some of us sometimes need to do the simple things. When that loved one that you're estranged from, that you've not spoken to in years, call them up. Just something different. Just do something totally deep. Just do something shocking to your own system. You know, that sometimes that's all of us are meant to change the world or change politics as Marcos and I try to do every day. But sometimes it's just the little things. Spend time with those you haven't spent time with. If you got a senior citizen living in your neighborhood or in your building, give them a ride to the grocery store sometimes if you can. You know, that type of thing. And you'll find yourself in a much healthier frame of mind and space as the craziness goes on. Don't be an automaton. Look out for a coworker. If you see a coworker being mistreated at work or discriminated against, don't go over here and say, I don't want anything to do with that. Say something. Say, hey, that's not cool. But do those types of things. Do good in the midst of all the badness that is going on. And we'll all feel a lot better, I hope.
Yeah.
That's just my suggestion, everybody.
Yeah, in self-help circles, a lot of people call that push your edge. So there's an edge of what's comfortable. And just push a little bit beyond that. And it's an opportunity for self-growth and to do some good. And push that edge. But, you know, in the service of being a better person, not in the sense of like making your life miserable. So it's like one thing I do, which is, it's such a simple thing, makes a ginormous difference for me, is I have eucalyptus spray for the shower. So every morning I spray eucalyptus spray and it feels like a spa. And so it smells good and it gives me a moment of meditative bliss and clears up the sinuses. And like, it's just like little things like that. I really recommend you find, I do a practice called yin yoga, which is you hold poses for 3 to 5 minutes. So you stretch, but it's also very meditative because you're releasing your muscles. You have to really sort of release. I do that before I go to bed. I do 20, 30 minutes of that. Like, there's little things you can do just to find that better balance and take care of your body and take care of your mind, because it's an assault. Like, I'd forgotten, Mark. I thought, like, him winning the election. No. This week, I've had to be like, get offline. Yeah. Like, it's 8 o'clock at night. Like, there's nothing you can get off. It's okay. I need to figure out how to find that balance, which I don't even know if I ever had it the first time around, because we had COVID and I had my kids were younger, so they were struggling. It was, I can't do that again. So I'm going to need to find a way to find that better balance in covering the Trump, the second administration. And we all in that same boat. We all got to find a way. And it's something that we have to be very intentional about. Like, it's not something that will resolve itself. We have to figure out for ourselves what it is that we need to not be consumed by it, but also not check out. Like, we don't want to check out, but not be consumed by it. And right now, to me, one of the things that's helpful is just to realize right now there's nothing much we can do right now. So let's just, again, point out how his policies are harming the people that voted for him. That's like, people need to start. We need to 4%. Like, that's all we need. Like, and then at that point in a year, we'll be talking about the midterm elections. It'll be a different story. We'll be gearing up to take away Republican majorities in Congress, right? But right now, like, let's not get consumed by it and then burn out before the next battle even begins. So it's a little bit of a balancing act. I get it. It's not easy. I'm struggling myself. I don't have the answer. And when I find my answer, it's not going to be your answer. We all have our own ways, you know, to find that peace, but we all got to do that very intentionally.
Very well said.
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com. kroger.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Marcos Melissa's DailyCoast.com. Check him out. Thanks, buddy, as always.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
All right. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.